Good morning, my name's Stephen Schaub. I'm the leader of the Fisher Revolution, as well as a master printer and hybrid artist at Indian Hill Imagers in Powell, Vermont. This audio blog really has two titles. The first one is my birthday rant. Tomorrow's my birthday. Every single year around this time, I start getting very introspective, very reflective. So I've been thinking a lot about our industry and the future of the industry and my relationship to that future as a working artist. And additionally, I've been thinking an awful lot about the impact of video on our industry. So the second title to this audio blog is Video Killed the Photographer. Okay, so let me sort of go off here for a little bit, but I'm going to tie this all together in the end. There's been a big love fest on the internet the last couple of days for the exciting announcements that Leica put out about the M9, the X1, the S2. I mean, just all these comments and how these cameras really represent, you know, just this perfect sort of balance of everything that Leica's been all about. You know, you're getting the full frame M9, you know, 18 megapixels, the new X1 that's coming out, this compact camera with a really fast lens, the S2, you know, if it's medium format size sensor. And you have to admit, from a technology standpoint, all these announcements from Leica are fantastic. But then I look at the price tag and I'm like, okay, it's unsustainable. You know, you can't charge $6,000 for an M9 when 2 years ago you were charging about the same amount of money for an M8. If I owned an M8, I would be extremely pissed off because that technology that I invested $6,000 in has now been trumpeted to the point that I need to now upgrade to an M9 if I want to be working sort of with the latest, greatest, newest technologies. And there's huge advances in the M9 over the M8, you know, and I just, to me, it seems silly. I mean, how many people listening to this audio blog have got an M6, an M4, an M7, an M3 that they're still using? Is that technology out of date? No. Was that technology sort of made obsolete within a couple of years? No. I wager right now that in 10 years, I challenge how many people out there will still be shooting with an M8 in 10 years. I think very few, if any, people out there will be shooting an M8 in 10 years. Yet in 10 years, I can guarantee you there'll be people out there shooting with an M3. There'll be people out there shooting with an M4, with an M6, with an M7. But I can tell you right now, the M8 and the M9, they have built-in obsolescence. And that's the biggest problem of digital technology. People are not building technology that is truly hardware upgradable at a cost-effective standpoint. All these cameras are so locked in that they've got a lifespan that constantly forces the photographer to keep, you know, investing in very expensive technology. And it just doesn't make sense. I look at the S2. It looks amazing. I mean, it's big. It looks amazing. But for $27,000, give me a break. I can go out and buy myself a used Hasselblad for $1,500, put some really great speed film in it, and scan it for a fraction of the cost. You know, sure, the S2 has all sorts of, you know, advantages on its side in some ways. You know, in terms of, you know, it's fast capture. You know, the client can have the file right away. But you know what, though? I'm not sure that really justifies a $27,000 price tag. Now, once again, from an engineering standpoint, I think these things are great. From a cost standpoint, I think it's silly. And then you've also got the X1, or it's the 1X, it's one of the two. And, you know, it's cool. It's got a really fast wide-angle lens. It's super tiny, you know, really fast frame rate. It looks really neat. But at $2,000, no thank you. I have no interest in spending $2,000 on what's basically, you know, a high-end point-and-shoot camera that once again, in a couple of years, in 5-10 years, do you think anybody's going to be shooting with that camera? No. Yet I can go and pull out an Olympus XA. I can pull out a Rolly point-and-shoot. I can pull out an XA4. You know, I can pull out all these different, you know, film 35mm and, you know, medium format type point and shoot cameras and get a scan that's going to be equal in quality to anything that 1X or X1 makes, and yet it's not going to be obsolete in 3 to 5 years. It seems to me that the industry hasn't learned its lesson. Some people have. Look at the new cameras that Sony's been introducing. You know, they've been putting out cameras for $2,000 that rival the high-end cameras by Nikon and Canon that are double the price. You know, that's interesting. You know, I mean, I still think $2,000 is just a hell of a lot of money for one of these digital cameras. But Sony, you know, I got to give them a little credit for that. You know, they've introduced these amazing cameras at a very low price point. You know, they can use Zeiss lenses. You know, what's not to love, you know, about that? So I just think that we need to sit back, and while we can all say, yes, it's great that Leica's around, I love my Leica lenses and I love my M7, but I'm like, Leica, you cannot be building an obsolescence like this the way you are. It's the same mistake that Nikon and Canon has been making, and it's one of the reasons why the photographic industry is in such a tight financial straits. You know, photographers just aren't getting enough money anymore on day rates in a lot of cases to be able to justify these types of costs and these types of upgrades. It doesn't make sense. And additionally, coming down our path in the near future, there's something scary as hell that's going to happen to our photographic industry. This is sort of the part two point here, is that video is going to kill a huge portion of the photographic industry. You know, I mean, from its very inception, a digital camera, to one degree or another, is like a digital video camera. You know, it's basically capturing a single frame, or 10 frames, or 20 frames, you know, per second. And, you know, now, with most of these high-end digital SLRs having, you know, high-definition video, and it's only getting better and better and better with every single generation, I predict that within 5 to 10 years, most journalistic-type photography that we see is not going to be still imagery. It's going to be video-based. You know, all you have to do is look at all the mobile devices that everybody's working with, from the iPhones to the Sprint phones. You know, everybody's getting mobile devices that have the ability of doing, you know, video and all sorts of stuff through its interface. And, you know, the generation of people who are coming forward right now are, you know, the YouTube generation. They're used to video. They like video. You know, it's very engaging. Look at the newspaper industry. It's basically crumbling around us. You know, so is there really going to be that call for that still image? And if there is the call for the still image, what kind of resolution do you really need? Why not just take 30 seconds of video, edit out the one frame that you want, and put it on your magazine cover or put it inside of your, you know, your web broadcast? That's all you really need. So, you know, while I think it's really neat that a lot of these digital SLRs have got, you know, video built into it, I do see that it's putting a death knell in sort of the need for in a lot of cases, the still photographer. If you're a portrait photographer and you're shooting, you know, or a fashion photographer, you know, what's to say that, you know, once we get a really high resolution digital camera or video camera, I mean like super high resolution, at the current pace of technology, 5 years. You know, something that's doing, you know, 12 or 16 megapixel, you know, captures at, you know, 30 or 60 frames per second. It's going to be doable. It's not going to be that long before that type of technology really hits the street. So why not, you know, film that model moving around? You're still sort of, you know, following her around with your lenses and stuff, but why not film that model for 30 seconds or a minute or 2 minutes and then sit down with your art director and edit out that perfect frame? You know, it's going in that direction. And I mean, it's scary. I mean, and the thing is, you know, right now, a lot of photographers think this is great, think that the video is really wonderful because it's a way for photographers to make more money. You know, not only can you do still stuff, but you can shoot video stuff. You know, wedding photographers thought the same thing a couple years back when, you know, digital was all the rage with wedding photographers, when every single wedding photographer wanted to go out and shoot digital because they realized that they wouldn't have to have the really expensive film cost. And, you know, in a lot of cases, they could have proofs right there finished at the end of the wedding, the whole nine yards. But what happened to the wedding photographer industry? Well, what happened is every single mom and pa also went out and bought a decent digital SLR. So the value of what the wedding photographer was doing at the event sort of decreased. And as a result, a lot of wedding photographers suffered in what they could actually make with regards to what they had to charge for a wedding. Additionally, think about the post-production time that wedding photographers now have to go through. It's huge. It's enormous. It's not like what it used to be. It used to be you'd shoot your film, you'd send it off to the lab. The lab would make your proofs and get them back. You were focused more on the act of actually making the photographs. Now wedding photographers spend the vast majority of their time in post-production. You know, and I think that's something that, you know, it's difficult now to convince the client to necessarily pay for. So I think we need to be really careful about how we embrace a lot of these technologies that are being put into our medium. You know, video, while I think it's really cool, as I said, I think in 5 years, 10 at the most, Most journalism is going to be done through video. I don't think you're going to see many still images. And if you are seeing still images, they're going to be captures out of video frames. I think it's going to put an awful lot of photographers out of business. Because let's face it, I can get myself some daredevil nut job who knows how to press a video camera button and send him into lots of different situations and just tell him to video and tell him to make shots. And then I can take that, cut it out, and put that on my web broadcast, put it in my magazine if there's still something in print. I mean, it is where it's going to be going. Do I think that there's a future for still photography? Absolutely. But I think that that future right now is really in jeopardy. I mean, you know, analog photography is here for an extended period of time. Analog photography is not going to be dying in a month or 6 months or even 6 years the way a lot of people have said and predicted that it's going to. It's not. And the reason being, well, one of the biggest reasons is the motion picture industry, because a lot of the film stocks now that we use for still photography are based upon motion picture stocks. And, you know, it's not that, you know, cinematographers in a lot of cases wouldn't consider shooting movies in digital. It's just the actual projection of digital movies is so cost prohibitive from like upgrading, you know, millions of movie theaters that it's cheaper, you know, just to continue to output the film. And so, you know, that's one of the main reasons why film is still going to be around. And I think that in speaking here specifically about the U.S. market, I think that it's important to remember that the U.S. market is not the only market for film photography. You know, and I think that this is something that, you know, we always need to remember, that there's a lot of other markets, you know, globally, you know, who buy film and who shoot in analog materials. You know, Japan, second largest economy in the world, is really, really, really heavily in love with analog photography, from instant films to their film Leicas. You know, it's a big thing in Japan. And I think there's a lot of other markets like that, in some cases, that are several years behind us with regards to digital technologies. You know, so how long will Kodak or Fuji, you know, the really two big analog companies, still continue to produce film? I say easily for another 10 years. You know, I'm not saying they're going to make every single film they make for 10 years, but I think they're around for a long time. But there's a lot of other smaller specialty film manufacturers that I think will be around for 15 or 20 years, mainly because, you know, the technology already exists. It's not like they're having to reinvent it or make it right now. It already exists, and it's not terribly expensive to produce once it's up and running. I don't think you're going to see anybody open a brand new filmmaking plant tomorrow, but I think that if a technology is already there, it's fairly inexpensive to keep it up and running. So what I'm scared about right now, though this has been sort of my birthday rant, sort of reflection thing, is what does this mean for us as photographers? You know, what are the big impacts upon this, you know, upon our industry? And I think, first off, I think that the camera manufacturers have got to get it through their thick skulls that they cannot charge what they're charging right now for their digital cameras. It is unsustainable. It is totally unsustainable. Give me a digital camera that's hardware upgradable and I'll think about it. You know, but right now, they're all building obsolescence into their system. Given the global economic downturn, there is no way in hell I would drop $6,000 or $27,000 on a digital camera. It just wouldn't happen. I'd rather go on eBay, spend $1,500 or $1,600 on a Hasselblad and buy myself a reasonable scanner. You're not going to see a difference on 99.999% of outputs. And provided I can convince my client to wait 48 hours, I can save myself a ton of money and have a lot more options down the road. You know, there needs to be a better understanding. Additionally, printers. God, let me go off on printers for a second. I seriously, this last week, was considering buying an Epson 9900. I seriously looked into it. You know, not to replace the DaVinci printer, but with the idea that this would be like a mini DaVinci printer that I could sort of use for, you know, inkjet coated media, you know, the Hanamules and the Cranes and the Innova papers that I print on occasionally for clients. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking about leasing one. And so I looked at what the ink cost. Those cartridges cost almost $160 a cartridge, times 11. And I'm like, that's insane. I'm going to spend close to $1,800 on ink for that machine. I said, that's just stupid, because I know what that ink actually cost. Those cartridges are $156 a piece for a 220 milliliter cartridge. If Epson has more than $10 invested in any one of those cartridges, I'd be surprised. Matter of fact, if Epson has more than $5 invested in any one of those cartridges, I would be surprised. That is an unsustainable profit margin. It is totally unsustainable, and it's killing, once again, our industry. You know, if they were smart, and Epson, please, and HP and Canon, if you're listening to this, lower the cost of your frickin' inks. You cannot charge that much money for ink for a printer, especially when you're buying an 11-ink printer. It's just not sustainable. Make the inks half that price. Raise the price of the printer just a fraction. Make it so the printer is upgradable, you know, so it's something that's going to last for 5 or 10 years, and you'll get your money back out of me. You'll get your money back out of me in inks, but it'll be at a more sustainable pace, sustainable for me as a photographer and a printer, and sustainable for you. You know, you just cannot be raping the industry with that kind of profit margin on ink. You know it. We know it. There's been lots of articles written about it, but no one's actually made the bold move. You know, someone needs to come out in these big wide format professional printers and sell the ink at a reasonable cost. You know, all this is about sustainability. All this is about the fact that I love our medium, that I love photography. And it drives me crazy when I see our medium shooting ourselves in the foot and in the head, you know, and not thinking about the consequences of what is happening within our industry. You know, so there needs to be a better approach to the sustainability of the technology. There needs to be an understanding that right now that while video is cool, you know, look at what happened to the wedding industry. Look what's going to happen to the journalism industry. Look what's going to happen to an awful lot of photography. The moment, you know, digital video just gets a little bit better in resolution, comes down a little bit in price, you're going to see whole portions of our industry either out of business or, you know, getting a fraction of what they can command right now. That's not to say, by the way, that fine art photography is going to end. That's not to say that your John Sextons and your Richard Mizraks and, you know, your fine art photographers are going to end because of digital video. I think that actually that end of our industry is what's going to keep the industry at least alive in something that resembles the last, you know, 100 plus years of our history. I think that our industry as a whole is about to fragment. And I think there's nothing we can do about it at this point. For a long time here in the Fisher Revolution, I've been sort of advocating the idea, and I still do, but I see less of a hope at this point. I've been advocating the idea that photography needs to stick together and we need to embrace all these technologies. But with what's going on in the price point, what's going on with the introduction of high-definition video, I just don't see how it's going to be possible. My prediction that is within 5 years, you're going to see there's going to be a whole section of people who do high-definition digital video for the purposes of, you know, everyday sort of general photography, and that the still sort of image is going to be, you know, questionable at best for its need for that type of work. And I think you're still going to have your fine art person. You're still going to have the person who's making prints. Because the fact of the matter is, people like to buy prints. People like to buy something that's tangible, that they can hold and that they can put on their wall. I mean, you know, all you have to do is, you know, think about, you know, some people have been making these sort of future guesses that, you know, in 10 years, we're all going to have, you know, LCD or plasma sort of screens on our walls with our images on it. You know, I don't think that's going to happen. And I think one of the classic reasons why is look at the outrage that happened when Amazon decides to delete, you know, somebody's book off their Kindle. People freak out. They're like, well, wait a minute. What do you mean you can come back and delete something off of my Kindle? Same thing's going to happen to these wall units. People like to know the fact that they've got this solid print. So I think that that industry is fairly secure. I'm not so sure it's going to stay the way it is. I think there's going to be a lot of morphing within that industry. But I do think that the analog sort of, you know, or the digital making fine art print industry is there. And I think there will be aspects of that coming in from other areas of our medium. But I think that the changes that we're about to see in the next 5 years are going to be far more radical than what's happened in the last 10. And I think in 5 years, when I do a birthday rant at that point, you know, it's going to be a very different world, a very different medium that we live in. I'm hoping it's a good one. I'm hoping it's going to be one that, you know, we'll all still sort of recognize as the medium of photography. But at this point, I'm not so sure. Thank you very much for listening. I can't wait to hear your thoughts. Have a great day.